1224. We had a texter who sent in, why do you guys have Andy Hart on so often now? Well, because it's a training camp. It's been like training camp weeks. That's why we've had him on. We had him on every Wednesday. Even in the off season, we were talking football with our buddy Andy Hart of the Six Rings podcast, the Six Rings postgame show, the Breaking Boston podcast, and, of course, all that you can read at WEEI.com. Hello, Hart.
Good morning, fellas.
Morning.
Afternoon.
I was going to say, would you just get up?
Rounding the back end on this now. What are you talking about?
Oh, boy.
Oh,
he's talking about your hind quarter.
Yeah, I'm rounding back end.
Jesus.
Good. What are you talking about? I can't even see you right now. That's the problem. I'm trying to remember. What color visor do you have on right now?
Oh, boy.
Let me guess. Clemson visor.
We didn't get the live look in for
Foyer. There he is.
Oh, man. Look at that. That is something right there. Hart, we were talking about Tyquan Thornton just a few minutes ago. Why are people basically turning him into the latest waste of a draft pick? Like, this is pretty early in terms of the judgment zone for Tyquan Thornton, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's the easy narrative, the history. Oh, another Patriots failed draft pick, failed wide receiver, Bill Belichick, they can't draft receivers, blah, blah, blah. And maybe that's true. I mean, there were certainly questions. I found it very interesting. So you mentioned the Six Rings post-game show, which, of course, my partner is Nick Fitzy Stevens, who generally pretty positive. He did not like Tyquan Thornton from the second the Patriots announced the pick. He's been down on him, thinks he's fragile, thinks he's too skinny, didn't see the upside, wanted the whole thing. So I think there was a certain portion that was dubious of Tyquan Thornton before he even stepped into Gillette Stadium. And now, with everything he's done over the second half of last season, this offseason, training camp, DeMario Douglas is with the, I don't want to say ones because that gets us in trouble with the group that also includes Juju Smith-Schuster and Devontae Parker. But people forget, last summer, he looked really good on the practice field. Tyquan Thornton had, I can remember saying it, and I'm not afraid to bring it up, cold takes, ice cold takes, whatever. I thought he had the best training camp for a rookie drafted receiver since Deion Branch. I really did. I thought he came in. I thought he ran more routes than I expected. I thought he was just going to be, hey, the guy runs a 4-2, run down the field, see how far you can throw it. He'll see how far he can run, and hopefully those two things intersect. I thought he was better than that. I thought he was really good on the training camp field. Then he got hurt. Then he was in the dysfunctional offense, did nothing. And
got hurt, right?
Yeah, and seemingly hasn't caught up now. Like, seemingly, yes, Gresh, that's hosts. See, it helps if you listen when I'm talking, and then I'll be nice, and I'll listen when you're talking. It'd be really nice.
As soon as I said it, I was like, oh,
jackass.
Crap.
Jesus.
I know. It happens every now and then.
Hey, Andy,
I had to write it down.
Didn't Tyquan have a good preseason last year?
What a jackass.
You want to start over?
No, that's perfect. I was going too long-winded. So,
yeah,
yes, Tyquan Thornton is not that good. And people are starting to realize it, I guess. I am not giving up on him. Because I'm sorry. He did more last summer than people give him credit for. Now, maybe that was a mirage. I don't know. But I'm not giving up yet.
So talk about Tyquan Thornton and how skinny he is.
Did you give me a talk about?
Talk
too?
About how skinny he is.
Oh my God.
Talk about the game.
I feel like I need to save this. The one thing I was thinking about is like how we were overly. Listen, it happens. What do you want me to do?
I didn't know you're morphing Wednesday into Willie May over here. Hey, PP, three folks scored 35. Talk about it.
Yeah. Talk about it. Who's the guy from that's always at the post game show that only asks questions of like, hey, talk about. Was it Steve Sanchez?
Yeah.
Oh, yep. That's who I'm channeling right now.
Alan Siegel's good for one of those every once in a while, too.
When did this turn into rip the media?
See how I Glenn Ordway this situation. I was up against it. I flipped it on somebody else.
Well, because Foyer is used to dealing with Burton. You know.
Oh, boy. We're going down that road.
What are we doing?
Everything's great, right?
What are we doing?
So I think there's the fact that people are ripping Tyquan Thornton is because Douglas is playing so well.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. And Douglas is also more of a prototypical Patriots slot receiver. And I think there is a portion of the media and the fan base that's been lusting after the Julian Edelman, Wes Welker, Troy Brown, Danny Amendola. Short, little, quick, gets open in the slot. And it may make sense, given we may get into the offensive line talk, how bad the offensive line has looked. But I think that's part of it. He's a fun little player who fits the mold of past Patriots successful slot receivers. And I'd also say, I don't know how good DeMario Douglas is, but he has not had a bad day yet. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this yesterday in the media tent. 12 practices, he's been good at all 12 practices. You cannot say there was a down arrow practice in there anywhere. And I think as a late round rookie, isn't that all you can ask for?
Yeah.
Like you didn't screw up. You didn't get worse. You're not an error repeater. Whatever. He's stacked them together, as the coaches like to say. So he's going to be a fun guy to watch in the preseason to see whether he is a... Remember Trey Nixon last summer? Trey Nixon was the next, you know, best thing at wide receiver. Big story. Trey Nixon was nothing in the regular season. Never did anything. Is still doing nothing now. Can DeMario Douglas take practice fun, practice reps, practice success, and actually do it on a game field, even in the preseason?
So, Hart, this is not an excuse for Tyquan Thornton. I'm only asking the question because of what went down last year. And that is, so they draft the guy figuring that, okay, whatever we're going to do is whatever we're going to do, and you figure you're drafting a player to the scheme, and we know that that was disastrous, and now there's a new offensive coordinator in here. So, in a way... is this almost like restarting a rookie year for Tyquan Thornton because he has a detail-oriented offensive coordinator that will be asking different things from him? And if so, do we have to allow for at least a little bit of transition time for Thornton to be able to match what Bill O'Brien asked him to do versus what Matt Patricia asked him to do?
Absolutely. You know, beyond the injury, Christian, you had the fact that he was a rookie in a dysfunctional offense. And I think that's a lot to overcome, to unlearn, relearn, to knock that rust or, mold or whatever that was from last year.
You're reprogramming yourself in a way.
Yeah. And now, it's fair to ask, well, he's a professional, and Mac Jones had to unlearn and relearn and do a lot of stuff. And Mac Jones looks like he's done that very quickly, mm-hmm. and with a great attitude and a great energy and all those things. You know, Tyquan Thornton, are you going to be able to do that and get up to speed? But yeah, that's certainly a part of it. I mean, if we're going to give Kendrick Bourne or whoever else, Hunter Henry, passes for last year because they were in the Matt Patricia offense, shouldn't the person who gets maybe the biggest pass be a rookie receiver? We know it can be hard to be a rookie receiver, especially when you're not a truly elite one. You know, we all get caught up in Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase and these elite ones coming in right away and producing. Well, there's other guys that still take a year or two, you know, the old year two jump from Bill Belichick. So that normal progression mixed in with Matt Patricia, absolutely, I think he deserves more time. That said, it's the NFL. It's year two. Mm-hmm. You got to start producing. You got to start competing. You can't get passed up by a six-round rookie. Whatever the excuses are, it's time to go out there, do your job, make some plays, and start to progress.
So what do you make of the Trey Flowers signing? And did you see the contract? Did you see what the contract was?
Yeah, it's like nothing. It's $50,000.
Yeah, right. So based on that, like, what does his presence even mean?
Good guy. Surround your... I think Bill... So he's had open roster spots for a while now. Like, they've been down to like 88, 87, back up to 88, whatever. And he signed the kid out of Navy, right? Diego Fago. And then Trey Flowers. To me, these are like Belichick guys, right? A multi-time captain out of Navy who's available. Oh, hell yeah, I got a roster spot. We'll mix that guy into the room, so to speak. And then Trey Flowers, who is... probably one of the ultimate Patriots success stories in terms of the business of the NFL. Come in as a mid-round pick, work your way up, pass rusher, versatile guy, big play guy, says all the right things, does midday interviews and says nothing in a truly Patriot way on WEEI for a couple years.
True.
Goes and gets $90 million and then comes back when the $90 million dries up. Like, are you ever going to regret having Trey Flowers in your training camp, in your locker room, dealing with young players? Do I think he's going to make the team? No. You know, I wish Trey Flowers, I said this on TV with Phil Perry last night, I wish Trey Flowers played tackle or running back or cornerback, because then that guy, that veteran guy you trusted that worked his way up, that you know, he would be a perfect fit for some of those positions. Unfortunately, he might be on the deepest position on the roster, right? That defensive front, the edge, there's a lot of guys there. So my guess is he contributes as a veteran presence for, you know, 4 weeks here and then doesn't make the roster. Although, who knows? I think he's practice squad eligible because I think everybody is in this day and age.
I do believe you're right, yeah.
Right, so if he wants to stick around, I mean, I don't know how much he collected, but he signed a $90 million contract with the Lions. He's doing okay for himself, and he's not that old. He's younger than Matthew Judon, so if he wants to kind of get in where he fits in within the organization, maybe it'll be more than just August.
Andy Hart of WEEI.com with Gresh and Fourier. You mentioned the O-line. Three starters have played little to no reps so far in terms of Trent Brown, Cole Strange got dinged. Onwenu has been on IR, PUP, whatever list he's on. Yep. He hasn't been out there. And arguably, the guy that might be your starting right tackle is likely to be your starting left tackle tomorrow. Your thoughts on the O-line as we have seen it to this point in the preseason?
Well, I can steal Mike Cadlick's description from the Six Rings podcast, which was very, very, very bad. Three verys he gave it. And it's true. That's the problem right now with this offense. You know, we want to talk about Bill O'Brien. We want to talk about Mac Jones. We want to talk about the wide receivers and the tight ends and how it's coming together. Well, you can't do any of that when the five guys up front can't block anybody. And too many plays where the quarterbacks are pulling it down, running around, chickens like their head cut off, stepping up. It's just, it's really been a problem on the training camp practice fields in terms of allowing them to actually execute the passing game in the offense. And I know Trent Brown talked the other day, and he poo-pooed continuity, and, oh, I think it'll just be plug and play, and we know each other, and we hang out enough off the field, we'll be okay. I know one guy who wouldn't agree with that, and it's your Tuesday guest, I believe he is, Dante Scarnecchia. Like, big believer in five guys thinking and moving as one, continuity, reps matter, and they're not getting any of that. And also, we don't know how good it is even when they get out there. Is Cole Strange going to be significantly better in year two? Is Trent Brown engaged, or is he Trent Brown who is just this mercurial, frustrating figure? The right tackle spot, whether it's Reef, Connor McDermott, we still haven't seen Calvin Anderson. This is way more question marks than you want to have on your O-line in August and heading toward a season. And I'm not going to say it derails the progress of the offense, but it's far less than ideal, and it's preventing them from getting the kinds of reps that they would like to have at this point in practice.
So Christian Gonzalez playing this game Thursday?
I would think so, but I don't know. He's right on DeMario Douglas. These guys that are like probably going to end up in the mix of regular players. Do they get treated like regular players? I'm guessing Gonzalez plays a little bit. Because you don't have a lot of depth at corner. But there has been times where we've seen Bolden, I'm forgetting his first name, the late round pick, Bolden out there and Speed out there and some of those guys. But I would think maybe you see a little Christian Gonzalez. I don't know what number he'll be in, by the way. That's another interesting
What number he'll be wearing.
Yeah, minor side topic. Is it going to stay number 50? Will there be a tweener number? I know some people were hoping.
When do they usually change it? Don't they change it at the once they? Oh, they do change it this week.
Generally,
apparently now. This is like before preseason game number one, they kind of get their real jerseys.
Generally, but I've heard whispers that might not be the case this year, and you might see some of these guys
staying
in there. Temporary numbers
that would
for
be great.
A little while longer.
I mean, come on.
That would be fantastic.
Christian Gonzalez going to roll out there in 50?
I think it would be great.
Well, that's
why
that's
not
one
go
thing.
All the way and do it?
Well, no, all the way is Malik Cunningham, who's going to play a lot at quarterback, I think, based on the way the practice went out, is number 64. Can they have a number 64 under center reporting as eligible every
freaking
that
would be
I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think about that.
And I thought he was a wide receiver. What's this quarterback thing?
Well, he was a wide receiver most of the time in practice till 2 days ago, where it seemed like they started him cramming for, hey, buddy, you're going to eat some minutes in a preseason game. We're going to give you a little time to get ready.
Warm that shoulder up. There we go.
And he's a fun athlete. Just based watching the practice field, he is a fun athlete. I don't think you want him throwing out of the pocket. I think if you have him throwing, you should probably move the pocket, roll out, flood passes, things like that. But, I think you're going to see some Malik Cunningham and maybe in a 60-something jersey. Which
oh,
will be
my
fun.
God.
You know who I'm kind of like not souring on, but like having like massive doubts about is the Gesicki experiment.
Oh, why?
I just, there's something that just is screaming gimmicky player, situational gimmicky player, where I think there's a kind of a shelf life obviousness to predictability with what he does, similar to what happened to him in Miami. He just is who he is. So he can make every one-handed catch, and people can brag about it, and that's what he does. He jumps and catches the ball. That's what he does. But I don't know if he's a great route runner. I don't know if he's a great separation guy. I don't know. I was just thinking about it, and every sign is pointing to how is Bill O'Brien really going to use him, and how many chances does he get to prove his gimmickiness?
Wow, I wicked disagree.
I just said I've been thinking about it. Because it screams, this is you've used all your passes with Gesicki, and look, there he is, throw it up, low percentage throw, back end line, one handed catch. Doesn't happen in the real world. Doesn't happen in the NFL. It's once or twice, sure. How often can you go down that well? Then what else can he do?
Athletic. He's definitely athletic. You definitely see him running some crossers and different things, trying to get open in space. I do have some questions in terms of, we used to see Gronk line up. There'd be a guy man on him, and Gronk would beat him, right? He's going to run a route. There was that time there where he was getting called for a lot of pushing off, but he would break down in cuts, out cuts, different things. I don't know how much Mike Gesicki does of that. That is a little different. I think he will be involved in, they're doing a lot of rubs and a lot of different things at the line of scrimmage. He'll be involved with some of that I think, A, he'll be freeing people up, and sometimes he'll be the guy they're looking to free up and get into space. I'm somewhere in the middle. That was a very negative take on Mike Gesicki. There's a lot of people that think he's going to be a stud, that he is going to catch double-digit touchdowns, that he's going to be the key to the offense. I even saw a graphic online today that was listing the tiers of fantasy tight ends. And it's a little different, but it's also what you think, how productive the guy is going to be. It was like Kelsey tier one, few guys tier two, and I think Gesicki was tier three. Hunter Henry wasn't on the list. They went like five tiers deep. It did not include Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry's the best tight end on the Patriots.
Wow.
He's been the best offensive player through 12 practices.
That's kind of how I'm feeling, he's kind of being forgotten. And there's a hype. There's a Jimmy Graham-esque hype to this guy that kind of is similar, and this is making me remember after Jimmy Graham left and went to Seattle, he never had the success that he had in New Orleans. Not saying that he won't make some plays, but I think that the number of plays that people are hoping that he creates, I think is going to be substantially lower based on he's a specialist. That's what he is.
But I think what Hart mentions, though, is a good thing, and that's what we've seen at camp at times this year, where I even mentioned it earlier. There's Gesicki in the slot, and there's Juju motioning behind him, as Gesicki is the guy that kind of helps Juju or DeMario Douglas or someone like that end up getting into route. I think with Gesicki, it is, can he make enough plays early on to where you have to respect where he is on the field to match it with the brain of the offensive coordinator? But also, how does that brain at OC use this guy to free other people up? I don't know if everything Gesicki Hart will be told through the numbers.
Right, and that's where I think there's going to be probably debate all year long. What's he doing? Is one touchdown enough to live up to some of the hype? Like, say he just has three catches, 24 yards, and a touchdown. Is that living up to the hype that we've heard? Like, the touchdown's good. And, if you do that every week and you get up in double-digit touchdowns.
So those would be good numbers.
That's huge. Those would be good numbers.
45 catches, 10 touchdowns, you'd sign up for it right now. Yeah.
But if the touchdown is every 4 weeks, then you start to debate how valuable he is. And you're right. It gets back to Bill O'Brien. It's what we said all along. He's got a lot of good options, complementary options. How does he piece them together week by week, game plan by game plan, even half to half, quarter to quarter, as you make in-game adjustments? That's where it's on him and Mac, and then we get back to the offensive line, if they allow him to be versatile and do all those things, or do they derail things before it even gets there?
Interesting stuff. We'll start to learn tomorrow night down at Gillette Stadium, where Andy Hart has got his seat ready to go. Do they give you the front row in the press box, or do they put you up high?
I'm usually in the front row. I didn't actually check my pass.
Shouldn't he be coming to the WEEI suite party that we're having? Or did he not?
No, I wasn't invited. I heard about that.
So
don't you worry. I heard about that.
So am I.
He's working for WEEI.
So am I.
On
You're doing
staff.
Videos.
Yeah.
Commentary.
Oh, yeah.
Tweets.
Oh, yeah.
At mentions.
Look forward to it. Have fun.
I'll get you in. Hey, I'll get you in.
By the way.
I don't want to be into that party that I wasn't invited to.
I'm inviting you.
Did you see Hardo Hart with the sleeveless shirt on, by the way?
No, I actually just recognized
that. Coop.
You've got
to
be kidding me.
Go back to
that. You are not a sleeveless Hardo guy. What are you? Where are you going with that shirt on?
No, it's where I'm coming from. I was out weed whacking.
I don't know. I still feel like it's a Hardo move.
No, well, I'm trying to work on the summer's, farmer's tan.
I have a joke.
Say it.
No, I can't. I'll have to text it to you.
You'll be fired?
Well, yeah, it's one of those.
Go like this. Give us a good flex. Let me see a flex.
Nope.
Yeah.
Give me a flex.
Yeah.
Give us
44
years. Come on. What are you doing?
I'm not
such
flexing.
A baby. All you do is work out.
Come
flex
on, Hulkster.
Time.
Give us one.
Nope.
Ultimate Warrior.
Hey, rip your shirt off.
Nope, I'm going back to my weed whacking.
All right.
Going back to doing what?
Yeah, he's
going to
go back to what? He's going to go back to whacking.
Hey, he's all alone in his house.
That's what I was going to say. He's half naked. He's already, yeah. There goes Andy Hart at WEEI.com. Hart, thank you, brother.
All right, later.
All right, man. We appreciate it.